What this network needs, this network gets. I promise you that.
The Blind Tag, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, WLW Studios Midnight Jury and After Midnight, Inconclusive Breakdown, Neckbreaker, Thursday Night Destruction, Two and a Half Wrestlers featuring the Pat Buck Show and the Bro Show, and the Shining Wizards. These are the shows of the Shining Wizards Network. ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Entertainment here.
The one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
The Shining Wizards Network proudly presents
the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast
with your hosts,
the Impact Playa, Phil Rea, and Dave Mega Powers.
Hey, just to let you know, the bullshit you hear on this program is for entertainment purposes only. So remember, it's just bullshit.
Time for the funny.
Oh, rudely interrupted by your
surfer show.
By your
gentlemen, hello, boys and girls, children of all ages. How's everybody doing tonight? We are your recognized signal of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. From the current to the way back, this is a very special edition of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. Tonight, I am your gracious host, the Impact Player, the mighty Phylactus, calling up a hunt. Oh, I can't even talk tonight because I'm drinking. Calling upon his herald, the Surfer. How are you, sir?
I'm great. Fantastic.
And we
hold
on a second. Dave, what the hell is going on here? All right.
It was just a matter of time before the two greatest shows on Friday night television merged together for one night only. I mean, people, you're never going to see a show like this ever again.
No, you're not.
Turn the color up on your TV dials.
Yeah, Dave, I can't add you for some reason. You're going to have to Skype in. I don't know what's going on with this thing.
Well, he's on Skype. You want me to try to add him?
Yeah, can you add him? Because I can't add him for some reason.
I guess you got to call it.
I don't even. Hold on a second. He's on the group here, which doesn't make any sense. And there it is. There it is. I'm sorry about that, partner. I tried to add you. Wouldn't let me add you.
That's strange.
I don't understand. And then went playing. Some British chick started yelling at me, and I was like, this ain't right.
Oh. You know? Well, I'm on now, and I'm live.
That's right. Live, Rant EM Radio, Rant Entertainment Media. We are a Shining Wizards Network production, and this is the first of many this year, of course, probably, of one of Surface Fun shows. And the two shows collide. It was bound to happen. We actually inadvertently commandeered Surfer's fun show for this weekend because we switched to Friday nights about a month ago. So instead of just, you know, not giving a shit, we figured we'd put our heads together and put up a nice show tonight. So how are you guys doing?
I still got the lump from when we did put our heads together, so.
Yeah, well, I won't tell if you won't. Let's say hello to everybody in the chat room. Let's get the soundboard up. I see Scott in there.
Scott!
That's right. The man, the myth, the Matt E. legend.
Dead or alive, you are coming with me.
Let's see. I got a soundboard now. Dr. Doom, that's pretty fresh. I like that. Who else is in here? All right. I see Josh E. Mr. Jordan Cobb, co-host of the What Are You Reading comic book show with the Surfer, is in there, of course. Who else is in there? Everybody else is anonymous. All right.
President Bush is in there.
President Bush. Oof.
Yeah.
Ugh. No.
George H. and George W.
No. No politics tonight. No politics tonight. So.
Maybe a little later.
Gentlemen, we are about 48 hours, less than 48 hours now away from all the festivities this weekend. How's everybody feeling?
Oh, my God. I'm excited.
Surfer,
I can't wait to take a bite into Sunday.
Surfer, are you excited?
Yeah, I'm excited for Mega Slam and, you know, doing a show with the future of Mega Slamminess, David Powers.
Oh, you know, hell yeah.
Like Seth Rollins.
I like how Surfer makes up words.
And I hope later on we do hear from the King of Bacon. You know?
Oh, yeah, that guy.
I am the King of Bacon.
That's right.
That guy.
That's right.
I am the King of Bacon.
Yeah.
I like how Sunday hasn't even arrived yet, and he's turned into that guy.
Listen, I was going to work yesterday morning, because yesterday, you know, Thursday is my Friday.
Yeah.
So I'm en route to the salt mines, and I go to send him a message, Mr. Rage, your opponent, and, like, he's not there. As I'm trying to send a message, Dave sends me a message like, yo, he blocked everybody on Facebook. And I was like, are you shitting me? Me of all people, me who has not said not one word negative towards him through this whole process, I was tight.
You're not even the father-like figure that AA is to Rage.
Right, so now while I'm talking to Dave, now I'm messaging the boss, and the boss was like, listen, I don't know. He even blocked me too. Apparently, so
I don't
now
think that happened though.
What's that?
I don't think that's what happened.
Yeah, apparently somebody dimed him out. Somebody, you know, ratted on Facebook. Maybe he posted something inappropriate. People, I don't know. So before I got tight, but you know, see the thing is though, I was under the assumption that when you get reported to Facebook, it takes like 24 hours to get your stuff lifted back.
Yeah.
So, I was calling shenanigans there for a minute, Surf. I didn't think he was legitimately, dimed out, if you will.
Well, listen, you know, Ray shouldn't be posting anything inappropriate in the first place. And the fact that he put himself and everyone in a state of perplexity, a state of confusion, if you will, that cannot be forgiven. And just for that, I'm going to beat him even faster and Mega Slam.
Well, I'll steal one of your lines, Dave. I'll say this. Tonight is not about Mega Slam. Tonight is not about Mega Powers himself. Tonight is not about...
I am the King of Bacon.
Not about him either, okay? If he calls in, he calls in. That's fine. This is about Surfer and the Fun Show. If you have not heard of Fun Show, it's pretty much whatever the fuck Surfer wants to do. Okay? We kind of have a format. We're going to do odd thing a little bit, and then Surfer's going to take over the helm fully and run the floor because this is pretty much his night. We're throwing him a bone, but adding our little spin to it because we can. And it's Friday night, and it's Friday night delight.
And we're feeling all right.
That's right.
Well,
get down tonight.
I just know when White Lightning and Black Hammer get together tonight, all bets are off. So
Wait a minute, sir. Sir, I don't know if you're Black Hammer. You can
Tony C's Black Hammer.
Is Tony C calling in tonight?
He'll probably call in.
That son of a bitch. You know what? It's a weird night to have a show because it's Friday night, and if you don't have a life, or you know, like we do,
Listening to the show.
Yeah, you're listening to the show. I mean, you know, there's a couple nights where Dave and I may take off, but people shouldn't be listening to this shit on a Friday night. You should be out with your people and doing your thing.
You know, Friday's my battery recharge night.
Yeah, it's my reach. Dude, I worked fucking like 50 hours in 4 days this week. I'm exhausted. I woke up today and I was like, man, I got to start cleaning this house for Sunday. I did the front room. I was like, all right. Went and had lunch with my father-in-law, and I was like, I had to pick up extra microphones for the event. And I was like, oh, man, at this point, I came home like 4 o'clock. I'm like an old man. I'm falling asleep on the couch.
Well, yeah, man. Like, well, I'm noticing for myself, you know, just, you know, in the past, like, when stuff would just beat the shit out of me all week, you know, I would still, you know, try to go out, you know, with all that heavy stuff on my mind and, you know, still fresh from hating work. And then I would go out into the world and, you know, occasionally I would have a good night, but I would still have that crap on my mind. And it's hard to shake off. So, yeah, I like to recharge on Fridays. And the fact that we get to do this on a Friday night, granted, it's not the most, you know, the coolest thing. You know, it's you know, everybody's got their opinion of what is supposed to be happening on Friday night. Yeah. But you know what? This is my idea of having a good time. So I'm glad I'm having the fun show with you guys. And I don't give a shit what day of the week it is. I'm going to have fun no matter what night it is.
I remember, like, being in my 20s, just cashing my check and getting ready, you know, like, singing the fucking, what was that song? It Just Got Paid. What's it, like, Johnny, whatever the hell his name was?
Friday Night.
Yeah, that dude. He just passed away recently, that guy.
I know.
I think he had the house in Virginia, that guy, the HIV.
Did he pass out? Did he pass away on a Friday night?
He probably did. I don't know. But, yeah, I remember just being up for days without cocaine, you know? Like, I never did drugs in my life. I just was, like, on this natural high of, you know, failing, or not failing, but, like, feeling like I'm going to miss something. Like, there was always something going on. Like, I didn't want to be the guy that missed that party or missed that gathering or missed that wrestling match, for that matter. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I did all that stuff, and it never turned out to be as fun as I thought it was going to be.
I got to tell you, though, and Scott can attest to this, there was his crew ran on Thursday nights in the neighboring town where I grew up. So I would
college drinking nights.
Well, this bar was, and we talked about the bar on the show already, but like that was
Tootsie's?
No, not Tootsie's. It was Cheers, and I was not Norm, but Cheers bar was like that was the Thursday nights were like. That was the shit, and somebody has an Android phone whistling in the background. But I
at the perfect time.
Yeah, so you know, that helped too for a while. So we had Thursday right into Sunday, man. It was crazy, crazy, crazy. But nonetheless, Surfer, what have you been up to?
Well, first of all, you were talking about Fridays and whether you should be out or not. It's, you know, being I'm the old timer here. You know, it used to be a thing where my week was ruined if I didn't go out on a Friday. And basically, it was like I didn't come home the Monday morning when it was time to go to work. So at this point, I can't plan my life on whether I go out on a Friday. So I just go out whenever I go out, you know. A lot of times it's more during the week than on the weekends.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I guess because I work like an animal, I don't get that luxury anymore, you know. But and back in the day, not because I'm showing my age, and neither are you, but I think back in the day there was more to do, right? Like I felt like there was more things going on. Unless I'm, I don't know. Maybe it's me. I don't know.
There's always something to do, Phil.
I don't know.
You just gotta find it.
I don't know how big nightclubs are these days, you know?
Oh, no. Yeah. I mean, even, like, the bands that we follow and stuff like that, they tour, like, on anniversaries. The 10th anniversary, 20th anniversary. Hell.
I don't know. There's a lot of those bands. Well, you know, as Phil knows, I listen to a lot of punk bands. And, you know, I'm finding it finding now more days than ever. A lot of those bands just constantly tour because that's what they want to do, and that's what they got to do to make money. Like, one of my favorite bands is Social Distortion, who I'm going to be seeing tomorrow in Asbury Park. And he might be there. Who knows? What's it called? But, you know, that's like what they're one of those bands that, like, they wouldn't have an album, but they would tour. They wouldn't have anything going on. But right. It's like every summer and fall, you would be guaranteed that Social Distortion would be rolling into town at some point.
Yeah, a lot of bands, you know, like Clockwork. A lot of bands did that. Like, I know my friend, a coworker of mine, she recently just left the company, but she's a big Dave Matthews fan.
Uh-huh.
So you knew every summer she's at Jones Beach watching Dave Matthews. A lot of rock bands did that too back in the day. Like, you know, the Allman Brothers came here every year in March for 2 weeks at the Beacon Theater. Pink Floyd,
it's like, I'm sure a lot of those bands aren't making much money off their albums anymore, so they got a tour.
Double A says he used to party up on Fridays. Yeah, of course.
I wonder what a Double A partying up night.
Well, if you know the region of where he lives, it's fucking party central down there, man. They probably write you up a ticket for not partying down there.
Well, I know he lives in Florida, somewhere by Flamingo Boulevard, but I don't know where he specifically lives.
Yeah, I bet you Double A fucking had his friends. All his friends were like Don Johnson wannabes too. With their,
all I know about Florida is it has like an insane amount of old people, but it also
not
has an insane
Florida
amount.
Has
it has
people.
An insane amount of like young hot people, depending
Dude,
on
yeah,
what
Daytona
area.
And yeah, man. Well, Boca, my wife's cousin just moved to Boca, and back in the day, Boca was the retirement community of the world. You know, let's move to Boca, Morris. You know,
Del Boca Vista.
Surf, is that where you're going to retire in a couple about 5 years? You going to Boca?
Boca? No. I'm going someplace nice and warm and safe.
Yeah?
Are you going to go to where they had all those nitros? Was it Club La Vida?
DJ Ran. Speaking of that, I found my fucking WCW Mayhem CD. I'm so excited.
Did you listen to it again?
Of course I did. Of course I did. I was like, this is great. I took a picture of it the other day. I put it up on a Rampage.
And it's got what Goldberg's second theme of Megadeth's "Crush 'Em."
Yeah, yeah, but there's a whole bunch of shit. Where is it?
It's like Sting with Metallica's "Search and Destroy."
Who?
Sting.
That guy.
Sting.
I found my. You know what else I found? I found my ECW Extreme Music DVD, a CD also CD DVD thing. I have having videos on them. I found my Typo Negative autograph CD from Pete Steele. I found a lot because I bought my wife a boombox.
Mm-hmm. I'm making her a mix.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
So I made. She has this brand new office in her new job, and she's like in the basement, and she has like no reception at all, like no phone reception or nothing. So I bought her one of these upscale boomboxes where you can play CDs, you can plug in your iPod to it, you can do a bunch of stuff to it. So she's like, she's asking people on Facebook, make me CDs. And I'm sitting here like, I have like, I have like legit like over two big like storage bins of like CDs. I have like over 1,000 CDs. And I'm like,
you still got CDs?
Yeah, because you know what I did when I moved? In 2005, I had moved back to my old neighborhood and I put all my stuff in storage. And, like, I started, like, getting, like, these my external hard drive and just backing up my music. But right. It's when you have a lot of music, it's like every couple of months you just give up and throw the shit back in the closet. So every couple of years now, I'll just go in there, I'll grab some stuff, I'll back it up, you know. Eventually, I'll get rid of them when I back all the music up, but I haven't backed all the music up on them yet, you know.
You need one of those multi-drive machines.
Yeah. Yeah, see, AA said I live in South Florida outside of Miami. Of course, dude, it's... That you I think it's like, it's criminal if you don't party in that region of the world, you know. You know, so.
Yeah, Double A be at those cocaine parties all night long.
Yeah.
Oh.
So yeah,
I do a podcast, don't you?
Yeah, I found my. You know. Oh.
Is this gonna be the co-cast?
No. here, Dave. Here you go. Here's Crush.
Yes.
I'm a Megadeth mark, by the way.
This is a good song, too.
I don't dislike Megadeth. I've seen him about 15 times, legit. They're coming out a new album in a couple of months, actually. Into the arena, into the lights. Yeah, buddy. Step up now. You're in for a fight. Yeah. I love his voice, Mustaine. And here's the Goldberg theme.
Who's next? How about that, ladies and gentlemen? Goldberg. And this crowd is on their feet.
You know, you just skip the chorus of Crushing.
Hey, listen. I can't play everything.
But this is the classic theme that, you know, Goldberg used to beat Jerry Flynn like 300 times. To get his great record.
Folks, you can smell these guys from a mile
away.
How about
Rap is Crap?
Unless you're downwind, then you can smell them from a couple of miles away. They are the members of the West Texas Rednecks. They are Bobby Duncombe Jr., Kendall and Barry Windham, and ringleader, the leader of the pack, Kurt Hennig.
Well, let me ask you this. How many people just hate rap music? You know, we got a brand new song here we're going to whip on you. It's called Rap is Crap, and it go like this right here. A one, a two, a one, two, three, four.
This is terrible. Remember this?
Oh, yeah. I was a bigger fan of good old boys. You know,
what?
Black Hammer is a big fan of Ken the Windham.
Oh, is he?
Yes.
The Q-tip. I mean, who was, like, okay, yeah, there's been smaller wrestlers, but when he first got there to wrestling, he was just so bone thin it wasn't even funny. He had that blonde hair, and that's why we called him a Q-tip.
Yeah, he was terrible.
I mean, he wasn't like Cody. When Cody first got there, he always had this scared look on his face, like he couldn't. He was in the ring.
Because they finally used him after like 15 years.
Yeah. And then after I bought this CD, right, I had gotten an ambulance at my garage that had a CD player. And this was my... Every morning I'd play this while I was washing the ambulance. It's on that CD as well.
Whose song was this?
Primer 55. The song's called Loose.
This is the Missy Hyatt song.
I know. Whoa!
Hey!
With my bell. Yes, I was happy. I found all these CDs, man. It was pretty cool.
You're going to have to make me a copy of this.
Of
this
the CD?
Great album.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, you can't copy these CDs without the express written consent.
No, I can't sell them without. So I could cop if I own the CD, I can do whatever the fuck I want.
But don't worry, Surfer. I got a express written consent by the National Football League.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and of course we have Rabenowitz and Rabenowitz of South Florida as our legal team.
Is that a
fox? Well, is that a fox? My legal team is Kruger and Kruger, and I hear that they're a nightmare to deal with.
are they brother or father and son?
Father and son.
Both.
There's makes sense.
There's the Stink Crow theme.
Wait, it doesn't have the Metallica Search and Destroy thing?
Oh, yeah, there's Seek and Destroy on there. Where is it? Where is it? Where's Selloutica? The live version.
Well, hey, they had to pipe in those audience cheers for all the wrestlers.
I think it makes them more authentic, though, if you ask me.
Yeah, I've always enjoyed the live versions used for wrestling.
And this is so fucking badass. I thought Brock Lesnar should have used this song. This is called "Here Comes the Pain" by Slayer.
Well, hey, that was his catchphrase for a bit.
That's what I'm saying. Taz's like, well, here comes the pain, Cole. Da, 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 da. So the other day, Mikey's watching King of the Ring. Was that 2002 when he won it? What a match between Ric Flair and Eddie Guerrero. Fucking great. That whole card was good. We should do a throwback on that.
Well, hey, those guys like faced each other a million times over in WCW, so I'm sure by then, you know, they had their game down pat when they faced each other.
Yeah.
Actually, what was it? Guerrero was almost kind of like Flair's go-to guy on Nitro, on those early Nitros.
Yeah.
If you watch on the network, of course, you know, the 96 debut season of Nitro. Actually, well, no, it started in 95, but 96 was its first kind of full year. But you'll notice, like, Flair and Guerrero were just, like, going at it, like, every other week. It was interesting. And then, you know, all those matches were fantastic.
Yeah, but apparently Mikey's got the 2002 on DVD. Someone had given it to him. And he had it on his room. I walked in. I'm like, what is this? He goes, oh, it's King of the Ring. And, like, it was Brock Lesnar wins, and he beats Rob Van Dam. And then Triple H was fighting Taker when he was Biker Taker. You're going down. he's fighting that guy. So it was a good card, like, you know. So, and then after 2005, it all shit the bed. So,
of course,
you know. Anyway,
what happened in 2005?
I don't know. I just feel like the E just took a huge shit on everything that was good in life. They had the brand extension before that. They had, like, you know, Eddie Guerrero was hot, JBL. Cena was the U.S. champ. At that time, was like, you know, he was still doing Thuganomics.
Was that WrestleMania 20 season? Or?
Yeah, Kurt Angle fought Hulk Hogan on this card, and it was, like, it was almost a good match, you know?
Oh, actually, I really like that match, especially, you know, considering where Hogan was at that point in time.
Yeah, Hogan comes out to fucking Voodoo Child. I still love that, you know?
Yeah.
You know, so, but I don't know, Surf. I feel like it just took a dive, and I'm not going to spend an hour on it either. But I think the transition happened around that time. They got the F off. They're getting the F off and get the F out, and then they come with this, and then like between 2005 2009, it was like, oh, they turn PC. Linda starts running for office. Triple H and Stephanie hook up and have a bunch of kids, you know?
Well, also at that time, they had, like, a lot of great talent on the card, but it was just kind of, you know, getting lost in between all the lame storylines and just in general.
Yeah, the fake ECW. I was like, come on, man.
And I think even before that time, a lot of the top guys were just kind of getting boring to everybody, and it was just, like, the same, you know, main events over and over again, because it was the late 90s, early 2000s. It was like the same, maybe four or five guys in the main event consistently, but the main events would be, you know, off the charts. Like they would be incredible matches.
Right.
But then just after a while, it just kind of got like the bottom card wasn't always that special. It was mainly about the main events, but around, you know, 2005 and on, like, that's when things really got, like, where the main events end, you know, the undercard just weren't special at all. And I remember around that time, a friend of mine got me, like, tickets to SmackDown for my birthday. And we went, and when he told me that he got me these tickets, like, I couldn't have been more disappointed on my birthday than having to go to that show. And when we went, like, they were filming two episodes back to back. And, like, the only, like, real, like, takeaway from it was that I could say that I saw certain guys wrestle live. And even then, that wasn't that much of a takeaway.
I went to a SmackDown taping in, like, 2008 in Manchester, New Hampshire. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it was it's a hockey arena. It's where the minor league affiliate of the Kings play. If you guys are hockey fans, in the chat room, I meant. And, you know, it's a 6,000-seat arena. The place was packed. And I'm with somebody. I'm dating this chick who's not a wrestling fan at all, you know. And she's like, oh, you know, larger than life. She's all into it. And then she sees the great Khali, you know. And Khali comes out, and she sees, like, the knobs on his chest. Like those big nodules he had, you know, I guess birth defects, whatever they were.
He looked like Frankenstein knobs.
That's what exactly what I told him. I'm like, yeah, you know he's Frankenstein, right? She's like, no. Dipper, you know, he's got some kind of something wrong with him. I'm like, no. They made him in the back. They legit made him. They Mary Shelley style. They fucking put him on a table. They put him all together, and now he's a big Indian Frankenstein. So, yeah, but it was bad to sit through. Like, I didn't stop watching. Obviously, I just felt like it just made that turn for the worse. I don't know. So
yeah, it was just like significantly disappointing.
Yeah.
Even when I watch it, like, now, like, was it, I went back to some of those Punjabi prison matches because I wanted to see them so bad because I knew, like, I heard, you know, back in those times that they were just, like, abortions in the ring. So I was like, I have to see this. And I enjoyed watching those matches, but, oh, my God, like, I could, like, I'm one of those kind of people that wants to watch the entire event, even if it's really bad.
Right.
And it was just, like, most of the event, I'm just, like, either on my phone or trying to find something to do, painting the wall, eating the paint, you know, anything but watching the events.
Well, now I know why you're a bit slow. You're eating paint chips. What's wrong with you, man?
Well, hey, I'll eat anything to beat Rage at Mega Slam.
Oh, man.
I am the king of bacon.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah, I can't wait till I win and I delete that soundbite.
You're not deleting it off my soundboard, son. It's my sound. That's good. That's a staple. Durant even incorporated it.
Well, after this Sunday, that soundbite will no longer be valid.
So, a little different tonight. No news, obviously. Surfer is taking over the show. Very excited. We're gonna get right into our throwback, and then Surfer's got a whole bunch of stuff he wants to talk about.
What was that?
I don't know.
Sorry.
What, the throwback of what? You know tonight's
that
throwback.
That sound.
I don't know what that sound was. Is that mine?
Oh, I was trying to bring up something, and I hit a video by mistake.
Jordan says, Phil, if you're a true human being, keep that sound bite. Of course, Jordan.
Oh, I'm going to take a bite out of that sound bite and shit it out.
Man, I spent many hours trying to isolate this.
I am the king of bacon.
That's right.
You know, this Sunday, to prepare for Mega Slam, I will fix myself an Elio's pizza.
Ah, there you go. You're going old school, huh?
Oh, yeah. I had one tonight, actually.
So now, you know what bothers me about those things? They come in, like, these long sleeves, right? And they tell you it's 9 slices, but in reality, it's only 3 slices.
No, it's 9. It's just you're not missing the long one. You're supposed to break them up.
Dude, how do you break those? Dude, how do you break those up? Those are slices.
Because they're meant for kids to eat.
So why the fuck did you have one tonight?
Because
he's going to have one on Sunday.
I wanted something to eat real quick. It takes like 10 minutes to throw in the oven. So
they've made it so easy now for you to make pizza in a supermarket. You don't really have to buy the Elio's no more. You can buy like the crust now. You can either buy it refrigerated or regular.
Yeah, but I want it. Like, okay, a regular-sized pizza would have been too much for me to eat before the show. Just wanted something quick. So,
but you know what, though? I know where you live, and pizza's not terrible there. I mean, it's not New York pizza, obviously. But, I mean, I've had pizza where you live. It's not terrible down there.
I wish you'd have had pizza at this one place that used to be. When I was growing up, it was a flea market called Jerry's Corner, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at the door, they had this pizza place. And they had the worst tasting pizza you would ever taste in your life. And people still ate it all the time. And once you got used to the taste of that pizza, everything tastes better.
So, wait, what did it taste like if it didn't taste like pizza?
It just seemed like the sauce wasn't fresh. The dough was cardboard. I don't even know if they use real cheese or not. I mean, it's just...
So wait, the place wasn't named Domino's?
No, it was just some pizza place at the entrance of a flea market.
Hmm.
And it's like...
Were they selling those bootleg Bart Simpson shirts by there?
No, this is way before that. This is
okay.
70s. You know, I get the feeling like they didn't wash their equipment. like, you know, at the end of the night or whatever, they just, like, when the bucket was done with the sauce, they just put more sauce in there. Don't rinse it out or nothing like that.
Hmm. I don't know. I've been down to your area. Even in, it's not, they don't have bad pizza there.
No. Just this one place was freaking horrendous. Now, you've been on South Street.
Yeah.
So you've been to Lorenzo and Sons?
Yes.
Okay. They're cool.
They're not bad. Kid Human saying Caesar's Bay Bazaar. My last apartment in South Brooklyn, I lived on Shore Parkway, which is right next to Caesar's Bay Bazaar. Caesar's Bay Bazaar is something like what Surfer said. It's like they used to have a bunch of stores and they had pizza spots there too. But I didn't really. By the time I moved there, it was like a Best Buy. I didn't have the bazaar anymore. But, you know, it is what it is. But yeah, those bazaars were cool. We had one in Queens too. We had a flea market, but they didn't sell pizza like that. Because, again, pizza where we are is like, you know, there's a pizza spot almost everywhere, you know?
Maddie Legend wants to know if that pizza place was next to Canadian Fried Chicken.
Wait, whoever heard of Canadian Fried Chicken?
I don't even know.
I mean, first of all.
Well, there's a place by me called Canadian Fried Chicken.
First of all, they don't get the bacon right, so how could they get chicken right?
Oh, my God.
You don't like Canadian bacon, dude?
No, I don't.
Oh, eat. you don't eat pork, right? I forgot about you. You're not that. You're not too fine on the swine, right?
No swine on the.
Is you're a Muslim?
You Muslim?
Okay.
You Muslim? Oh, you're one of them 7 day. Oh, I had a coworker.
I'm part Jewish, part Muslim.
Oh, so you don't put cheese on your burgers either?
No cheese on the burger.
So wait a second. Should we not be talking to you since it's technically Shabbat?
Yeah, dude, it's Shabbos.
Oh, okay.
All right, have a good night, Surfer.
Yeah, you have to take that Ilio's pizza out of the oven now.
You know, who's going to take it out of the oven? You going to call one of your neighbors?
Yeah.
I lived on my last when I lived in South Brooklyn, I lived on the border of Bensonhurst and Borough Park. And Borough Park is very, very Orthodox Jew. And my ex was telling me when she was a kid, because she grew up over there, when she was a kid, her neighbors would ask her to come upstairs and shut the lights off for them because they couldn't touch anything.
Wow.
You know? And I always thought that was creepy. You know, it was cool, too. Not cool when I first heard it, but when I first moved out there, it was dusk, and they have air horns, like legit air horns. I'm talking like airstrike World War II air horns that they sound off to tell them they have to go home for Shabbos when it's dusk. Like, huh. I thought I was being raided, bro. I jumped up and put my hands behind my head. I walked up against the wall. I was like, man, what did I do? I just moved out here. I didn't get no warrants yet. Anyway, so, yeah. Lots of culture shocks here, man. There's like 200-something countries that live here. So.
And you know what? Corey Graves is not behind it either.
Oh, no. Goodness forbid. Goodness forbid. Are you guys ready for NXT tomorrow night? I'm excited.
Oh, I'm going to be seeing Social D tomorrow night. So
let me catch you on the network when you get back.
Yeah.
Yeah. My son.
I'll probably wake up early in the morning and check it out, maybe.
Are you going to eat?
I don't know. I might be excited. I might be too excited, so I might want to.
You going to eat while you're down here?
No, that was last weekend.
That was last weekend. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Actually, before I went to the concert in Philly, I hit up Papa John's. I had that delicious chicken margarita pizza, and then I headed out to the show. So I would be full from the pizza, and I wouldn't buy anything at the concert. Which, you know, for the fucking spot that I was at in Penn's Landing, oh my God, beer was like almost like $20 for 16-ounce beer.
You know, you're the only person I know that uses the words Papa John and delicious in the same sentence.
Well, believe it or not, it actually was delicious.
I can eat Papa John's, but most people don't care for it.
I was going to be a dick and order pizza for everybody on Sunday after the contest. So, no, I'm just going to make a tray of baked ziti instead.
Well, you know what? I think I might get an extra pie.
Bring an extra pie. I mean, we'll eat it. Someone will eat it, but I'm going to put out I'm going to make a nice tray of ziti.
There you go.
I'm in the mood for some ziti.
Well, it sounds like we're going to be, feeding the masses on Mega Slam Sunday.
Yeah. So what's how many is booked for Sunday?
For people coming over?
Yes.
Let's see. Besides the combatants, myself, Choppy, Mrs. Choppy, one of their friends, the Filipino Heat, and I think that's it. I don't think anybody else. I think so. Maybe under 10 people. My wife.
I thought Tank was going to be there. He's not going to be there.
Tank hasn't contacted me in weeks. I think he fell off the fucking face of the world.
He's been making comments here and there, but yeah, he isn't his loudmouth self as he used to be.
Yeah. So I think he's. I think his dad has him on the lock and key again. Yeah. So Tank, if you're listening, Tank's always welcome to come over.
Yeah.
My son will be home from vacation, so he'll probably show. He'll probably bring his dad with him, so his dad will be there with us hanging out.
It's been a while since he's hijacked my show. No, I'm just kidding.
You know what, Tank is, you know what, Surfer Tank is, I'm glad that he got to interact with you guys all that time, because you know what, A, you guys don't get many calls anyway, because of your time slot,
mm-hmm.
and B, what you and Jordan do is pretty much what me and Tank used to do, but on a lighter scale, like 20 years ago. We didn't get as in-depth as you and Jordan do because you guys have more knowledge of the writers and the artists and shit. Tank and I really didn't have that much. We just discussed storylines and, with shit talk and stuff like that. But same thing, man. So, yeah, we dig it. Just because we don't call in, doesn't mean we don't dig it, I download almost every episode, So
I appreciate that.
And look who's home, the Unsilent Majority from a performance. How are you?
Guys, I just walked in the door. My husband cleaned the house. He's gonna get his dick sucked.
Wow! Thanks, honey.
Oh my god!
So now everybody knows you're gonna give me fellatio later. You like that front room, huh?
Oh my god! I want to fucking suck your dick right now.
You can. I'm doing a show, but I even found makeup. I found a bunch of shit, man.
Oh my god! Phil's gonna be wearing makeup.
I'm gonna put. I've been buying him a lot of presents.
Yeah, I'm gonna
check this out.
Though. Wait! Hold on a minute.
Hold on, guys.
Hold on.
Shut up. I don't want to give it to you.
Oh, what are you yelling at me for? What are you yelling at me? Ooh, it's a Mets shirt. Ooh, I like shirts. I like t-shirts. It's a Mets shirt.
Yeah.
It's a dry blend. Oh, so I don't sweat like an animal. Ooh, my name on it. Ooh, and my number. Ooh, boy. What do I do to deserve that? I clean the room. I get presents?
Yeah, man.
High five. Very nice. Gen Qui. Thanks, babe. I love it. You're the best. I don't care what Surfer says about you.
Don't even try that. I ain't trying to get me in trouble. I ain't say anything.
You want to get on? All right, hold on a minute. The Unsilent Majority is going to be joining us. Let me up her mic. So, yeah, so it'll grab that mic over there. Does it work? Yeah, talk into it. Nope, I guess not. Hold on 1 second.
You see?
Yeah, try now. Try now.
You see that, Dave? You see how he's trying to get me in trouble?
Yeah, I'm trying to get
I see how he rolls. My vision not blurry, okay?
Hold on a minute, boys. Talk amongst yourselves.
So, Dave, did anybody,
yes, Surfer.
Anybody call you up about your Ashley Madison account yet?
No, because I don't have one.
Oh, okay.
I already saw one post on Facebook where somebody was saying that they've been contacted about it. I don't know if they have one or not, but I'm already seeing some arguments on Facebook about it.
I was away from signing up, and then the news got out that they got hacked, and I was like, dodged the bullet there.
Yeah, perfect timing.
I hear you.
You hear me? I don't hear me.
Yeah, maybe it's your headphones. Oh, your headphones? Hold on a minute. Yeah. How about now?
Hello?
You don't hear the headphones?
No, I don't hear anything in the headphones. I don't hear you in the headphones.
All right, so swap out the headphones. But anyway.
Yeah, I mean, Josh Duggar was on there. I mean.
Who was on there?
Josh Duggar.
Who's that?
He's part of that 19... family, that huge family with got the 19 kids, and then the oldest child, was revealed that he was sexually molesting his sisters and some other girls growing up.
Oh boy.
And he's grown, he's married, he got his own kids, and he's one of those people get on TV and try to tell everybody how they should live their life. life.
Meanwhile, he's on AshleyMadison.com.
Apparently. So.
Well, that's the thing. Was it like? It's just the emails that are coming up. So there could be people that aren't doing anything, but they created an account. But nonetheless, the intent is there, and you know, bring.
So what
happens about who?
What happens when Adult Friend Finder gets hacked? I said, what happens when Adult Friend Finder get hacked?
Well, I think there's going to be some broken up friendships after that.
All right. I think we're good. Are you good? Honey, you good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. What were you guys talking about? I had everything muted.
Ashley Madison.
Ashley Madison?
Isn't that the plus size lady clothes store?
No, that's
no.
That's Ashley Stewart.
Are you wearing plus size clothes again, Surfer?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Well, size 14.
The truth got out about Surfer earlier.
What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do?
You know, you can only do what so much deviant behavior before it gets out. And that's what I'll be trying to tell Rage, and he don't want to listen, you know. I'm trying to avoid all the mistakes I made growing up, you know.
Well,
so he don't have to grow up and go through the same things.
Listen, I don't think Rage is doing any deviant behavior. Listen, I think he wants to.
Listen, Rage is the king of bacon.
I am the king of bacon.
That's right. He is the king of bacon, guys.
Not for long.
He's not
going to win. He's the
Sultan of swine.
He's the self-proclaimed king of bacon.
Yeah, man.
And I don't know if he's going to be able to handle the bacon that's going to be on that bacon-wrapped deep dish.
Gross.
Pizza.
What?
From those
Caesars. Gross.
So, now how many pizzas have you had since the contract signing?
Like, every day he's posting pictures.
I've been taking Lipitor just because I've been getting sick over it.
Yeah, no, seriously, Dave, how much pizza have you eaten in the last fucking 2 weeks? Legit.
You know, I've completely lost count at this point.
He can't reveal his secrets.
Because I said to Tony last night, I said, dude, I said, babe, I said, Dave's not going to, I said, we should order pizza, right, to fuck with them for our guests, and then Dave's not going to have pizza till like, 2016 after this.
More or less. I will say this. I've had enough that it's in my system, and I'm, like, craving it, like, all day.
Wow.
I'm dying for pizza, actually.
I'll, you know, once I'm done eating, like, gorging myself, like, I'll be like, oh, I don't want to do this ever again. But then give me, like, a few hours or so, and I'll be like, I can go for more.
Bacon.
Pizza.
And
pizza.
Sunday, I'm just going to be a machine.
I wish Chris asked both. If you're listening, you should bring some pizza from Brooklyn on your way in.
It's just strategy to like peel the bacon off from the around the edges.
Guys, he can't reveal.
He can't reveal. Plus, he only has 10 minutes to eat that pie.
Listen, Surfer, my strategy is to win. That's it. Nothing more to it. Just win.
And that's all you need to worry about.
Just win, baby.
I'm going to win it for the troops, for this great country that we're living in. And I'm going to give Rage an opportunity in the land of opportunity to mend his evil ways on Sunday, August 23rd at MegaSlam. He's going to grow up before our very eyes because that pizza is going to make a man out of him.
I thought your mom's pussy made a man out of him.
Oh, come on. Bowls across the nose.
Oh, don't bring my dear mother into this.
Yeah, leave Mama Powers out of this.
Oh, relax, David. We have a rapport.
I don't know about...
He's like, that's it. You're out of my inner circle. You're done. Here I was, thinking we're buddies. Cross the line. Fuck it.
Oh, my God. Why did you do this?
Rage paid me $15 to throw you off your mental game.
Yeah, because all he has is about $15.
I am the king of bacon.
That's right. That was
well,
good.
That was good.
I don't know if you saw, but Rage weighed himself.
Yeah, he lost like 40 pounds since he had his airport job. Good for him.
Hey, I can't hate him for that.
Good for him.
But listen, you know, I would lose 50 pounds if I was if I knew I was going to face myself.
Well, he wears that winter hat all
Sunday,
year long.
Sunday, August 23rd.
He wears that winter hat all year long. He's got to lose some weight on that.
Having a consistent job will help you lose some weight.
Yeah.
Well, the man wears about like 50 pounds of clothes wherever he goes on any season of the year. So, yeah.
He's got thin blood. He's always cold. What do you got there?
Nothing. I ain't mad at him. My son thinks he's great. My son calls him Mark Henry. He's the best. Phil Rage coming over? Yeah, you know he looks like Mark Henry, right? Yeah, he does.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn.
You know what, though? Maybe every big black guy that he sees looks like Mark Henry, because my son's only like 60 pounds and about 4 foot, so.
I think he's the only big black guy Michael knows.
So yeah, he's asking you why we all look alike?
No, that's the thing, though, because I said to him, I was like, are you saying that because he's big and black? No, he really looks like him, he said. he got really offended that I thought that he was being a racist in my kid. You know, he got really offended, you know. Cause
hey, even at that age, you could be offended by being called names.
Yeah, because he's a smart kid. He knows the deal. He's not, you know. He knows, and you know, Rage is super nice, and he's a good kid, and he comes over, and we hang out, and
he's nice when he's in front of people. I noticed.
That's all that matters. He treats my kid good.
Yeah,
that's all Rage needs. He needs a little, TLC from people.
Yeah.
And your mom.
And your. Oh, come on.
I'm sorry.
Whoa.
I'm like,
whoa.
Guys,
I'm not facing you.
What's wrong with you?
You know,
have you been
wanted
drinking
that,
tonight? I had a glass of wine.
You had
I'm
a glass
little,
of wine, and now you you shit talking Dave.
Yeah, I'm a little inhibited. You know,
sweetheart,
sorry.
You can't
you know,
do that.
I had a little wine before I came on air, and I'm not acting up.
Yeah, well, you're not a light. You're not a lightweight.
Not
like,
lightweight,
like Guts over here.
You know, listen. I may not have a mixed CD for you on Sunday now.
No, Dave. No.
Yeah, Dave was talking about. We talked about your mixed CDs before.
No, I need to have it. I'm getting tired of Hot 97. It's the only station that
came
clear.
I gave you a bunch of CDs.
I know, but then you have to, like, switch them out.
Oh.
I've had clients. That's the thing. Like, typically, it's just me and my hovel. And then they gave the desk next to me to Irvin, the kid that you met
the other day. Yeah, yeah.
So me and him have been chatting. I've actually had a real live person.
He looks like he looks like the young teacher from Lean On Me. You ever see Lean On Me?
No.
Joe Clark? Never saw that?
Crazy Joe with a bat?
Yeah, that's right. They used to call him a Crazy Joe. Now they call him a
Batman.
But he had a young kid, a young teacher. The kid, your boy looks just like him.
Did you ever see the real Joe Clark?
Yeah, of course.
Does he look like Morgan Freeman?
No.
Mm. No.
No, not at all.
Does Morgan Freeman look like him?
No.
Morgan Freeman's in mourning right now. His daughter granddaughter got stabbed up in Harlem the other day.
Oh, God.
Yeah, well, you know, there was a rumor flying around like 4 years ago that they were getting it on.
Him and his granddaughter?
Yeah, well, they're not related. Yeah, not related by blood.
That's gross, though.
But listen, I didn't start
they're mixing
every,
blood
like,
right there.
Yeah, every major news outlet picked it up.
Pastor Sadell goes, let her listen to Backspin on Sirius. Dude, it's in our car every day.
Please, on preset, stop playing.
You're, by the way, you have a present downstairs. Your antenna came.
Yes.
Via XM Radio.
Well, you know, Pastor Sadell said that he's also not buying Rage's need for TLC. He says he needs an exorcism.
He is our resident pastor.
Yeah. I wonder if the pastor has done any exorcisms before.
I'll pay for it. I'll fly pastor from St. Louis, Missouri to Staten Island next year, and we're going to exorcise Rage.
Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
We're not doing no more contests, though.
Even be gone.
That's your next gimmick.
That's my next gimmick?
Yeah, forget pizza-eating contest. We're going to exercise.
We're
going to
have exorcism slam.
Exactly.
Exorcism. Or mega
exorcism. Demon slam.
I think Rage is allergic to exercise.
Oh, boy. You know, I won't get into details, but I have been a part of an exorcism, and it was fucking scary as shit.
Oh, my.
And I'll just leave it at that.
Did the bed spin, or did they float in the air?
It was something. I don't even know how to begin to describe it.
How did you even get yourself
involved? Your mom so sucks to smell.
Wow. It had nothing to do with smelly socks.
Pastor Sadell said he's into it. He's in if we fly him in.
What religion is he? What denomination of Christian?
Pastor, I think pastors are they're Baptist.
Some sort of Lutheran.
Or Baptist, I think.
I'm surprised they haven't done any
emphatically
exorcisms
Christian, like Catholic thing.
I don't know. Pastor probably has a book on it though in his
library,
in his office. Yeah.
Of religious studies.
Yeah, of course.
Token spirit guide.
Right. Yeah. Like, he has a Cliff Notes.
Right. The abridged version.
Yeah, exactly. Of token spirit
of
guide.
Token spirit guide. Yeah. It's the TSG.
You just gotta Google it before he gets here.
Yeah, he's on the plane, he's like, "All right, how do I do this? Why these crazy white people flying me in?"
Right.
He's Baptist. Thank you. That's what I thought.
Yeah, do Baptists do exorcisms?
They do it every weekend. He slaps people in the forehead.
No.
Yeah, you cured Bing.
No,
oh, he's not that kind of Baptist.
No,
no.
So people aren't passing out during his.
He's not having any tent revivals.
Yeah, but he's got a tag team. Him and his wife, they preach. So they do damage in there probably. Spiritual damage. They probably walk in there with the quickness with a tag team belt on the altar, and that's it. I dare any kind of demon or devil or Beelzebub to challenge my shit. You know? That's it. Tag team of the year right there, Mr. and Mrs. Sadell.
Climb up on the top altar.
Climb up on the top altar.
What would the name of their finisher be?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Christian Thunder.
No. That's gay.
Oh.
No, it's gay. We got to get a good finisher for Mr. and Mrs. Sadell.
Y'all can think on that.
Yeah, we'll work on that. Anyway.
Moving on.
All right, so Surfer, what's the format tonight? How do you want to do this?
Well, I thought we were doing throwback first.
Yeah, we'll do a throwback first, and then we'll do all that good stuff.
And Dave, how you feel about comic books?
The Aaron grievances.
All right.
What did you say?
I haven't read too many of them, I'm open to anything. I haven't read too many comic books.
I don't want to leave Jordan all alone tonight, so. We'll dial him in a little bit, and we'll talk a couple of stories that we can't wait till next week to go over, and then we'll have the fun after that, you know?
All right, take a quick break, and then we'll...
Here comes the fun.
Here comes the fun. All right, take a quick break, and play a little bit of spots, and then we'll come back and do a throwback, all right?
I'm going to go watch the Home Shopping Network. Nice to sit in. Thanks, guys.
All right. Good night, honey.
Peace.
All right, guys. All right, guys. Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Fun show. Surfers in the building. Everybody's having a good time. Let's play some spots. I'll be right back.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
B-5-O-Bum.
Come on, you guys. It's only a little.
A hungry giant.
Hungry for a big honey dash.
Big taste. Honeycomb. Big taste.
Honeycomb.
This is Kevin from the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, and when you're done listening to Phil Rea and Dave Mega Powers drop knowledge on everything pro wrestling, head on over to the Shining Wizards Podcast at www.shiningwizards.com, where we do the exact opposite.
America is today the strongest, the most influential, and most productive nation in the world.
If we look to the answer as to why for so many years we achieved so much, prospered as no other people on earth, it was because here in this land, we unleashed the energy and individual genius of man to a greater extent than has ever been done before.
The energy, the faith, the devotion will light our country and all who serve it.
We have every right to dream heroic dreams.
We are the people who, for truth and honor's sake, stand fast and suffer long. Who are never tired so long as we can see far enough.
Those who say that we're in a time when there are no heroes, they just don't know where to look.
It is the courage and character of our nation.
The greatest fighting force on the face of this earth. The men and women of the United States military. They're the heroes to every American.
As for the enemies of freedom,
we shall pay any price, bear any burden, to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
We will not surrender for it, now or ever.
We will rally the world to this cause by our efforts, by our courage. We will not tire, we will not falter, and we will not fail.
And after all, why shouldn't we believe that? We are Americans.
I am a real American. Fight for the rights of every man. I am a real American. Fight for what's right. Fight for your life.
I am the king of bacon. I am the king of bacon.
Okay, faggot, what's next?
Are you trying to tell me my money's not good enough for you? I find that a little hard to swallow, you junk ass!
He stinks, and I don't like him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Fight yeah. for your life.
What? How dare you mock my theme song for Mega Slam? Not only are you mocking it, but you know who put that together for me, right?
That's right. The man, the myth, the Matt E. Legend.
Dead or alive, you are coming with me.
The man supposedly supporting Rage from Mega Slam.
Yeah. Anyway, all right, we're
and
back.
He's even saying it in the chat room. It's the Mega Slam winner's entrance music. And that's the song that I'm coming out to.
Anyway,
listen, you know, there's no real Americans coming out to this music anymore, so I'm gonna have to step in those big boots, those big yellow boots for August 23rd.
Please don't wear yellow boots. Oh, we'll pick on you more than we'll pick on Rage.
Listen, I don't think me wearing yellow boots is gonna stop you guys.
If pick it on you?
Rage.
Yeah, pick it on. Yeah, maybe if you wore a feather boa.
Train, say your prayers, eat your vitamins, be true to yourself, true to your country, be a real American.
Yeah, shut up. Anyway,
I think that's out the window for him. So
right, all right.
Just think the disaster he would have right now had he jumped on the whole grill thing before George Foreman. No, they wanted.
I know he had Pasta Mania instead. We talked about that on.
Well, according to him, he was also supposed to be auditioning for Metallica, which Metallica said never happened. So who knows if the grill was even in the works? And if the grills were in all these American people's homes, like if you had a Hulk Hogan grill, would you throw it out?
No.
Those grills are too damn good.
I loved my Foreman grill when I lived in Brooklyn, man. I loved that thing. I grilled.
Well, it could have been a Hogan grill.
Dude, I would have had either way. I made some awesome burgers and chops on that thing.
Well, those burgers could be, not only a little bit dry, but they also could be a little bit racist, too, if it was a Hogan grill.
Let's get into the throwback, shall we? And now, here is your throwback of the week, sponsored by the Shining Wizards Network and Rant EM Radio. All right. Hold on 1 second. Where's it from? Oh, okay. I have it. Thank you. You don't want it?
No, more for you.
Oh, thanks, babe. All right. So, do the throwback tonight. It's taking us back to 1993. What's so funny?
Nothing.
Okay.
Last century.
Yeah, last century. 23,954 paid in attendance. The Palace of Auburn Hills, the home of the Detroit Pistons. This is SummerSlam 1993, the sixth annual SummerSlam 1993. This was a good card.
And wasn't this the last SummerSlam to use the original SummerSlam theme song?
Yes, it was. 88 to 93, that was your...
Yeah, because I don't think that I'm definitely sure they didn't use it for 94.
Right.
For Domino's Pizza Presents SummerSlam.
Anyway. Surfer, did you do your homework?
Yes, sir. I did my homework.
Were you there, Surfer?
No.
Were you were not at the Palace at Auburn Hills?
No, I've never been to Michigan.
Pistons weren't that good back then anyway. They were good in the earlier.
They were on the decline, but they weren't bad. And they had just came off championships not that long ago. Mm-hmm. This is when Jordan started winning his championships.
My man John Sally, Brooklyn's own John Sally, played for the Pistons. Anyway, all right.
Isaiah Thomas was on the
damn right
Pistons.
He was.
So
was
now he's the popcorn guy.
Vinny the Microwave Johnson, but this is not a basketball podcast.
Wait a second. There was a basketball player named Mike. His nickname was Microwave.
Yeah, Vinny Johnson.
Yeah, because he used to heat up real quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Surfer, am I lying?
No, I mean he was one of those guys, man. When he got hot, he got hot.
Yeah, he didn't start. He came off the bench and he just lit it up. Lit it up. He was great.
Wow. Uh-huh. You couldn't call him like the tire fire or anything like that.
You know, it's kind of hard in basketball. Like, you just come straight off the bench and drop, like, 6 points in a matter of, like, a minute or two. But he would do that, like, all the time.
See, Surfer, when you let white people give them the nicknames, they don't come out right.
So. Tire fire is pretty good.
Tire fire is awful. Sorry. Anyway.
You know.
What do I know? I know basketball. Something you don't, obviously.
Listen, anyways. You know, I know my Larry Birds and my Bill Bradleys.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, now he's playing. Yeah, exactly. Now, what is it, Saturday? It's the Wrestling Colon Show? Playing the race card? Good job. Okay. Anyway, all three championships defended at SummerSlam. Steiner Brothers defended the tag team championships.
Four championships.
Was it four?
King of the Ring.
I guess. I think that was more just a claim.
The claim, yeah. No,
that's what Heenan said at the beginning of the broadcast.
Yeah, he did. No. Steiner Brothers, tag team champs against the Heavenly Bodies. HBK was the IC champ at the time against Mr. Perfect. And, of course, Lex Luger will fight Yokozuna. And Bret Hart versus Jerry Lawler, like Surfer mentioned, and Bobby Heenan. All right. I watched this twice. I loved it.
Yeah, this was, I don't know. I kind of felt like it was a little, like it didn't live up to the previous SummerSlams. But, obviously this was a big change. It was the first, not the first SummerSlam without Hogan, but like the first SummerSlam without like the main guys from the 80s. You know, the previous SummerSlam had, you know, Macho Man and Warrior headlining along with Bret Hart and British Bulldog. And, you know, out of all those guys, the only guy that was wrestling that night was Bret Hart. Macho Man was there, but, you know, he was in the he was on commentating position, but not for that show. But he was like, you know, having matches here and there, but, you know, he was being phased out.
I thought the card was good, but there's two big disappointments about that pay-per-view that we'll get into.
Okay.
As we get to them. I mean, like I never knew how to put this in the upper or lower scale because of these two big disappointments to me, but, you know.
Now, were you disappointed when you initially saw it, or are you disappointed as an older fan now watching it now?
From when I saw it.
Okay. Because me and Dave spoke about that. Like, sometimes when we're younger, we let stuff slide because of the moment. And then we go back and watch them as older people, and it's like, oh, really?
Well, you know, also when we were kids, well, you were a bit older than me, Phil. But,
right.
You know, when I was watching stuff, I just believed whatever was happening was, that's just how it is.
Well,
you know, I didn't really question it. And when I did question it, you know, I didn't put, you know, too much effort into thinking that, like, oh, well, you know, it's you know, I wouldn't cave into the fact that it wasn't what it was on TV. You know what I mean?
Right.
Well, I was far from a kid, but it wasn't like what I say disappointments to me ruined the card. But anyway.
No, the only reason why I ask is because we spoke about that. Like, there were things that, you know, that we just let go. Not even like, not because of your age either, I guess. Maybe because, like, certain things you let go, you're like, oh, okay, it's only IRS, you know. But then you watch it again, you're like, oh, that was really disappointing, you know. But anyway.
Yeah, you know, some things don't age well with time.
Right. All right.
You know, so, at the time, you know, I'll say this real quick. You know, you could see a guy like IRS on TV, since you mentioned him. Because he's not wearing wrestling gear, and two, you know, he wants to tax people for everything.
Yeah, that
dude. And you know, as time goes by, you're like, oh, it's Mike Rotunda. This is probably going to be a good, you know, thing. And then, like, as it goes on, it's just like, wow, he's just going through the motions.
Yeah.
And when he goes out, you know, to, you know, do his like IRS spiel, it's like, wow, this is just so. This is very banal kind of stuff. It's just kind of like, you're all a bunch of tax sheets, and then everybody goes boo, and then it's like, okay, well, it didn't seem, you know, it's not as exciting or intriguing as it was back then. Now it's just kind of like, oh, they gave him another shitty gimmick, and he's, you know, probably just like, all right, you know, let me go out there, have my match, and get the fuck out of here.
All right, well, let's get into it, man. I enjoyed the card. Of course, there's a dark match. You know of how much Phil loves his dark matches. This is, I think, a record for us. It's like the third.
Oh, we know how you're a dark.
Yeah. This is actually the third time consecutively that Owen Hart was involved in a dark match in our throwbacks. Once he fought. Now he fought Barry Horowitz this time. And gave him 8.5 minutes.
Last time?
No, this time. Last time he fought. For the USWA Championship before Papa
Shango. Yeah, against Papa Shango.
Yeah,
did he win or lose?
No, he lost.
Oh.
He lost. And then now he's fighting Barry Horowitz. So
then he won.
Yeah, he beat Barry Horowitz.
Well, pat on the back for him.
Pat on the back. All right, your first televised match was Razor Ramon versus Ted DiBiase. Now, I really didn't appreciate this until I got older. I got to be honest with you. You know, I had this on videotape before I got the DVDs, and I got to be really honest. I watched it again, and this is one of the best matches around that time. This was a really, really good match.
Yeah, because DiBiase, man, he came out the gate like vicious. Like he really took it to Razor. In the early on in that match.
Yep. And you know what? Oh, go ahead, Dave. I'm sorry.
You know, one of the things that I really like about Ted DiBiase is he has a good worked punch, which, you know, you don't really think about punches too much, but, you know, some guys kind of
I think you there, Dave? You lost you for a second there.
You know, if you're heavily into cooking wrestling. Yeah, you hear me? Hello, hello?
Yeah, you're breaking up, dude. We got hello? Nothing out of that, yeah.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, but if you're critiquing, you know, wrestling matches, you know, the punches are always, like, you know, the thing that comes up. You know, because obviously if you get into a real fight, it ain't going to take too many punches to knock somebody down. But yeah. When you're a guy like Dusty Rhodes or Ted DiBiase and you're throwing those work punches, they look real as hell.
Right.
And, you know, that's one of the things that I like about Ted DiBiase is that even for his, like, the most basic of moves, the guy, you know, perfectly, you know, delivers them. And I think with this match with Razor Ramon, I remember as a kid loving this match. And it's just because both of these guys, you know, granted they weren't, you know, world champions or, you know, in the main event all the time, but they were just like solid workers, you know, really good hands in the ring.
Yeah, and I think Surfer made a good point of saying that DiBiase came out like a house of fire. Razor Ramon quickly turns the match around with a bunch of clotheslines. And, you know, again, Razor Ramon, Scott Hall sound in the ring, too. And we spoke about that last week, too. I think both guys complemented each other very well in terms of style, ring style, you know. DiBiase gets the upper hand again, untying the turnbuckle cover, one of his, you know, classic moves there. Razor
lost to Virgil that way.
Yeah, lost to Virgil that way. Razor, of course, gets the upper hand again and gets the ramming his head into the exposed turnbuckle and then, of course, hitting him with the razor's edge.
Yeah. Lost that way twice at a SummerSlam.
Yep.
That Desi
Virgil
imitation.
What was that, Surfer?
I said that Desi Arnaz imitation.
Yeah, right. So
Heenan was on a roll that night with the shit he was saying, man.
You know what, dude? He was on a roll the last month too in the King of the Ring, the last pay per view. I don't know what happened. I don't know the story, but I really want to find out because he left shortly after this.
Well, that's when he was being courted by WCW, and he accepted because, you know, above being paid, you know, a lot more money, they also had health insurance, and he had issues with his neck, you know, spanning, like, years that, you know, he just never got any surgery done on his neck, which if you remember that Clash of the Champions where Brian Pillman, you know, comes behind him.
He goes, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's because, you know, he had had the neck surgery, and he had no idea what was going on. All he knew was that somebody was behind him going for his neck. And obviously he wasn't competing as, like, a, you know, he wasn't a manager anymore. He wasn't doing any crazy bumps. So that's kind of like why he overreacted at that Clash of the Champions.
I wish somebody could find that. I want to see that again.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't help that when Gorilla threw him out the building, that he did. It seemed like he hurt his neck that night too. So,
yeah.
Well, he had all that toilet paper in his bag.
Oh man, but yeah, good point, sir. For Bobby Heenan was on fire, and he's so quick-witted, man. Like this, so quick-witted.
Like I'm not gonna lie. Like back in the day. A lot of the things he used to say, I didn't even pay attention to it. I didn't catch it. But when you go back and listen to it now, watch it now, it's like, this motherfucker is off the hook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you have to play it back. Like, it again, you catch shit. You're like, I was watching this the other day, and I'm like, on the way to work, on my tablet, I'm like, I can't believe he got away with half that shit. He would never, half the stuff he says, he would never get away with it now. Somebody would be in the earpiece yelling at him. You know what I'm saying?
Well, hey, you know, look at some of those classic, you know, Ventura McMahon spots, you know, Saturday night's main event, you know, where, you know, was it Piper and Orton are beating up Mr. T and Ventura's like, this is Roots 2, McMahon.
Yeah, yeah. Crazy
that,
shit, right?
That wouldn't fly today. Not no, one iota.
No, not at all. All right. So your next match, clearly the MVP of this match was Scott Steiner's mom. Clearly. Todd Pettengill is going ringside and he spots.
Oh, this is great.
And he spots the Steiner's mom and their sister. And since they're in Michigan, the hometown crew, he asks his mom, you know, a bunch of crazy questions. And she's just so embarrassed that she blows him off. And she's like, how'd you control those two? Did they do Frankenstein with the furniture? She's like, she goes, yeah, whatever you say.
And then laughs at him.
And then laughs at him. So you could tell that she was embarrassed, you know?
Oh, I wanted to add one more thing.
Go ahead.
That we didn't bring up with the Ted DiBiase match.
Go ahead, brother.
That was also his last televised match on WWF television.
Oh, that's right.
Because after that, I think he may have done, you know, he might have done something like house shows.
He went to Japan. He went to Japan.
Yeah, he went to Japan. I believe it may have been All Japan for a spell, and then he officially retired after that.
That's right. Yep.
So I need to track those matches down. I've never seen them. I just read that on, like, Wikipedia, you know, some months ago. And it's like, DiBiase still wrestled after the WWF and went to Japan?
Yeah, so did Hogan. They both went. They all did the Japan tour that year, 93.
Well, hey, man, good money. Much more respect over there. Yeah.
And plus, DiBiase can work, man. He can work his ass off. Such a good worker.
Oh, God, yeah. So, anyway, back to the Todd Pettengill.
Yeah, so Todd Pettengill gets embarrassed by the Steiner's family. Obviously, the big favorites in the crowd. Now, they're fighting the Heavenly Bodies, and not the Carino brothers, the original Heavenly Bodies.
Yeah.
The Bodies were brought in with Jim Cornette as part of a working relationship that they had with Smoky Mountain, that Cornette had his promotion at the time.
Who Heenan was putting over big time as well.
Yes. My issue with this, there was no build. There was no build to this match at all.
Well, you know, as I mentioned, I think it was last week, you know, one of my favorite steel cage matches of all time was